Acts chapter 20, verse 33 says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, now that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they should accompany him unto the ship. And let's pray. Father, thank you for these words, the great example of the Apostle Paul, the inspiration of Scripture here. We look to you to teach and guide, of course. You are the great teacher. The Holy Ghost has given us to lead us and guide us into all truth, and we request that now. I am simply the voice. You are the teacher. Lead and guide my heart and my thoughts so that you can give to us today what you have for us. And Lord, may you turn our hearts and attention towards you, where Satan would love to distract us from receiving whatever seed you have for us today. And then when we leave, he's going to try to steal the seed before it has a chance to take root. That's why we have an altar call, an invitation to try to nail some things down and allow things to take root. And Lord, I just pray that your work would be done today. May we not just discuss a concept or talk about a truth, but may this truth become a part of us. May it become a part of our character. And as we are molded and shaped into thy image, of course, it must be, because it is who you are. We love you. Bless this time. Change us for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I actually had another message that I was preparing for, and I was planning on using verse 35 as just a proof text to another lesson. And as I was studying, it became clear that the Lord wanted me to just focus on one phrase and talk about that this morning. So this was not my intended, planned message for you, but one that I believe the Lord has laid on our plate this morning. We see that wonderful phrase, it's almost become cliche, in verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when we talk about giving, the world absolutely rebels against it. People don't like to talk about giving. And often, can we just be honest, most Christians shrink away from it. Most Christians would rather a preacher preach on the horribleness of hell than on tithing. Because we know we don't have to go to hell, amen? But tithing now, they need to find a way to wiggle out of that one. We would rather the preacher preach on the sins of the world than on our obligation to take care of those who are less fortunate. And the world is so prevalent with this idea that it's mine, me, my, mine, this idea of selfishness. And nowadays, we're living in a day and age in America that is different than when I was a child, and that is very different than some of you senior saints that are here when you were younger. And that is the attitude that most people seem content to sit back and just take whatever's given them than try to find opportunity to earn their own way. And boy, that's just damaging to any society when that sets in. Much more so for the Christian. The Bible says very clearly about Christians, if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so God says, you'll work if you get hungry enough. When my mother-in-law makes dinner for the kids, she's all like, what do you want to eat tonight? And they're all like, well, I want this. And another one says, I want this. And she's like, well, I'll make you this. And then maybe I'll make you some of this. And then, but when daddy makes dinner, it's like, here's what you're having. That's not what I want. I'll say, you'll eat it if you're hungry enough. Absolutely. Now, they love grandma. And not so much dinner time. They love me Not so much at dinner time. And well, what if I don't like that? You'll learn to like it. You know, it's like a chow line. Just throw the slop on the plate, and sometimes it does look like slop. And you throw the slop on the plate, and just they move on. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Mom's able to be there and be a grandma to them. And when I was growing up, my grandma would come over, and Grandma Mother, we called her. And her name was Violet, but my mom called her Mother, so we just all started calling her Grandma Mother. So anytime I talk about Grandma Mother, people kind of look cockeyed. Is it your grandma or is it your mother? And yes, it's Grandma Mother. And so Grandma would come over, and my mom would be hard-nosed with us, and no, you can't have a snack after school, and here's what you're eating. And Grandma would come over, and she'd say, Rita, he's a growing boy. You need to feed him. And she'd go over to the kitchen and say, open up, here, eat this. And my mom would be like, Mom, I'm trying to, you didn't do that with us. And of course she didn't, because grandmas and grandpas have privileges that most don't. Amen. You get to spoil the children and then send them home. And so that's a wonderful blessing. Unfortunately, they can't go very far. Amen. They just go down the stairs. But what a wonderful blessing. But this idea of giving, we live in a world that's take all I can get, and with very little thought of what is my responsibility to give. And I challenge you this morning that it is part of a Christian's duty to be a giver. This is not a message about tithing. This is not a message about giving to missions. This isn't a message about giving alms or taking care of people's needs privately that you see. This is a message about the character of the Christian. I'm not asking you to give once or twice. I am asking you to be a giver. Be a giver. Allow it to be part of your spiritual DNA. Allow it to become part of your character. To give means to bestow or to confer. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to pass or to transfer the tithe, the title, or property of a thing to another person without an equivalent or compensation. So it's not a barter. It's not something that you're paying for. It is something that I have possession of, and I give it to someone else, and now they have possession of it, and it's not a trade or a purchase. And when we study the Word of God, we find that we have a giving God. And as we are molded and shaped into the image of Christ, we must become more giving. I confess to you, I don't have this thing of giving down. As a matter of fact, I am a poor giver. My wife is a giver. She has taught me more about giving than anybody in my whole life other than God. I mean, if I give her something, she's already thinking about who she can give it to. I gave it to you. And it's not re-gifting. It's not like, I don't want this. So I'll give it to somebody else. It's, wow, I really like this and I really need this, but maybe someone needs it more. That doesn't even enter into my thinking, amen? I'm like, thank you very much, amen, and I take it and run. And I gave her some money recently, just some extra spending money. The Lord had blessed us, and I gave her a little extra spending money, and I saw the wheels turning, and I said, now I want you to spend this on yourself. And she said, but I thought you said it was for me. I said, right. And she said, so that means I can do what I want with it. Right, as long as you spend it on yourself. She says, but what if it makes me more happy to spend it on somebody else? And the flesh side of me wanted to look at her and say, that's crazy talk, woman! And the spiritual side of me had to say, well, that's very spiritual of you. And that's a great idea. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. My flesh is over here going, argh! Now we're just being real this morning. The flesh doesn't like to give, it likes to take. But boy, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, wants to give. And the very character of God is giving, which we'll look at in a moment. And it's interesting, I want to just spend some time again, not what I'd planned on preaching earlier this week, but what the Lord gave us for this hour. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to just take a little bit of time and talk about the blessings of giving. The blessings of giving. I am not the a poster boy for this thing, but I want to strive to be that. And I want each of us to strive to be that. And so, you know what I find is we tend to be more giving with different things. When I tell my wife, I said, I don't know how you give so much. Boy, that's hard for me. And we've had that conversation through the years. And she said, that's not true. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're very giving with your time. I said, you know, I never thought about that. She said, you'll give somebody hours at the drop of a hat. If somebody needs you, you're up in the middle of the night, you'll be at people's houses, you're in the office counseling till 10, 11 o'clock at night, sometimes after church. But don't ask me for 10 bucks. It's funny how we go. Now, my wife, she'll give you anything we own. If it's not nailed down or I haven't said that stays, and she knows you needed it, if you come over to her house, you're walking out with stuff. And I'm like, no, put that back. I put that back in. But she's very protective of time. Her time with me is precious because there's so little that she can do. And so we've had these conversations about how it's interesting that I tend to be stingy with money and things, but very generous with my time. She tends to be very generous with money and things and very stingy with time. And if you look at yourself, you'll probably find yourself on one of those two levels. And what we want to do is go beyond our normal predispositions, go beyond our genetics, if you will, go beyond our experiences and our trainings of what we've learned through the years, and go beyond all of that and step into the very character of Christ and be a giver. To give from the heart, pure of motive, no thought of return. Give because it's a blessing to give. That is a very Christian concept. It's interesting that America has been the most giving country in the world for many, many years. Is it any wonder that America has been founded on Christian principles? What we're finding, a correlation that the world doesn't necessarily make, is that as people get less away or get further away from the Lord in America, charitable giving is going down. And what's really funny is if you look at the statistics, the people that love to take your money and give it to other people usually give very little to nothing of their own money to other people. Giving, the type of giving that we're discussing today, is a Christian concept, a Christian truth that we must look at the Bible to find. Now to our text. We see in Acts chapter 20, the apostle is giving his last words to the preachers and people at Ephesus. And he talks about a lot of things. But he ends up here by saying, verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So he was known as not being one that was covetousness. He wasn't out to get what he could get. He was one that was very willing to work with his own hands. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So it's interesting to me that one of his parting things he teaches them is don't forget to be a giver. Don't neglect the grace of giving. He said, I've modeled it for you. I have tried to model it. I have worked and taken care of our own. And what's interesting is other places and other times the Apostle Paul could not work, didn't have opportunity, and lived totally off the offerings of other people. Isn't that true in our lives? Sometimes we have excess and we have the ability to give, and other times we are in dire straits and need, and we have a need to be given to. But I believe that God is interested in what we do with our extra. There have been times in my life when I've had extra and been able to give. There have been times in my life when I've had people drop off groceries and I'll go to open the fridge and there's a thing of ketchup in there and maybe a thing of mayonnaise and maybe a couple packets of mustard from a fast food joint. And I mean, you're talking bare bones. Times we've been able to eat steak and many times when it's hot dogs and chips. And that cheap bread from the bread aisle in the store that's more like cardboard than bread. You know what I'm talking about. What's sad is we learn to like it. You have it so much, you learn to like it. Hot dogs are the poor man's steak, amen? And by the way, a good old hot dog. Boy, that just made me stop there and say amen. Thinking about a good chili dog on Thursday night. We all live across this spectrum. But is it our character to give? Is it your desire to give? There have been many times when people want to give and they just have no ability. And other times when people have the ability but they have no desire. And the Apostle Paul here leaving them reminds them, when I am gone, don't forget to support the weak. Don't forget to give. Don't forget to take care of those that are struggling. And then he gives us words of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a wonderful truth. You know, the Bible even tells us that if the books that should be written about Jesus were written, the world themselves could not contain them. In the Gospel of John. But here is something that Jesus said that didn't make it into any of the Gospels as a direct quote, but people that knew Jesus and heard Him say it now giving us to Him in the book of Acts. That's interesting how God decided to inspire this into the Bible. But the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then He goes on and leaves, and they sorrow because He's leaving. His last words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what I've found is that that's a wonderful cliche to say, but very few people actually believe it. And it's a very simple test. How many of you would be happy if somebody gave you $100 right now? Let's just be honest. Oh, I don't want to be fleshly. You liar, raise your hand, you know. There's not a person in this room who said, take your filthy lucre and leave. We'd say, thank you very much. And anymore? And, oh, sure, it'd be a blessing. You lower your hands, it'd be a great blessing. It's a blessing to receive. It's a wonderful blessing to receive. But it's more blessed to give. Now let me ask the opposite question. How many of you are dying right now to give somebody $100? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, you just love to give someone $100. If that's you, you can make a single file line right down here. I'll meet you at the front. And I know a great charity that you can give to, the Chapman family. And how many of you would rather give $1,000 than have $1,000 given to you? And we think, preacher, that's not even sensical. That's ridiculous. Everybody would rather get the $1,000 than give the $1,000. And I say, time out, not everybody. We are in the receiving business. God wants us to get into the giving business. I've been challenged at different times in my life. Do I really believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive? Ask yourself now, I mean, do you honestly believe that? I'm not talking about do you believe it. It's one of those things that we believe with our mouth, but we don't believe with our actions. 1 John says, love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just talk about love, show love. And this is one of those truths that we love to talk about. Not so much into the doing of it. want you to be challenged today. The truth is right now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. The truth is right now, if God gave most Christians extra money, they turn around and use it on themselves. With little to no thought, I wonder if there's anything God wants me to do with this. And then we wonder why God doesn't give us more. So we can have more stuff. I can go from an early 2000s car to a new car. I can go to from a Chrysler to a Cadillac. I can go from a Cadillac to a Lexus. I can go from a Lexus to a Land Rover. I can go from a Land Rover to a Hummer. And then I can have my Hummer and my Corvette sitting next to each other in the lot. And then my driveway is not big enough. And so obviously I need a bigger house. And then my clothes, this suit only cost, I love this suit. I know I'm distracted this morning. My wife bought me this suit for $20 years ago off a clearance rack at JCPenney's. It was a gift from God. $20. It's even says it was sewn in Italy. Listen to this. Vitali Barbarous Conico, woven in Italy for Stafford Executive. I put this on and I just feel like something. No, I don't. Until I look in the mirror, that's like, ugh. It's like putting a nice suit on a hog or something. And kind of ruins the suit. But you know, the funny story, and maybe the Lord wanted me to say that. My wife prayed that morning. This is years ago. We're talking probably eight years ago or so. You say, why isn't it worn out yet? Because I get skinny and then it's too big and then I get fat again, then I can wear it and then I get skinny. And so my clothes tend to last me a long time. That's part of my plan to rotate my clothing. And she said, I prayed that God would allow me to find something special to bring home to you. And I found this on the rack, $20. Boy, what a blessing. I forget what I was saying, but that desire to give. What happens is we just get nicer and nicer and nicer. Now, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'll show you that in a minute. God's not against you having nice things. If you have diligence and wisdom, then you will have opportunity to make loads of money sometimes. And I don't think that's a bad thing. The Bible doesn't say money's evil. The Bible says the love of money is evil. I know many people that are wealthy that don't love their money. It's a tool to them. But most people that aren't used to having money, we do love money. We have a great affection for it because we've never had it. We see the power of the things that it can buy. I'm challenging you this morning is if God were to give you extra, are you willing to stop the madness of just pouring it upon yourself and saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? You know what I've found? Is that if God finds out He can trust you with a little, then He'll trust you with more. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Let me give you some blessings to giving. The blessings of giving. Let me say number one, it's a blessing to be able to give. I said before that there are people that they have no ability to give. It's just not in their life right now. I mean, they're struggling for every dime. They're struggling for every penny. They're trying to figure out how to pay the bills. I have been there more times than I care to remember. I have bills sitting on my table right now that really they're not even supposed to be mine. It's supposed to be insurance was supposed to pay them and things like this. They're sitting on my table right now. I have no idea how to pay them, but I just keep praying about it, keep making phone calls, keep praying, keep making phone calls, all of those types of things. I have full confidence that God's going to work it all out. That can be a weight on you. I know what it's like to have the electricity shut off. I know what it's like. Listen, I know what it's like to go to making hundreds and hundreds of dollars a day to within a matter of weeks and a matter of a couple months having the electricity shut off at your house. Life can be fickle. I was in my early 20s making over $300 a day. Then I found out it doesn't always stay that way. I've had people drop off groceries. My wife and I have had God answer prayers. Literally, we're praying and we come home and find a couple bags of groceries on the stoop, not knowing where they came from. We know what it's like. I promise you, one time we were just married and just getting financially stable, and our cupboards were bare, and somebody dropped off a couple bags of groceries at that particular time, and it's like the groceries would never leave. We would eat them, and then you'd go open the cupboard, and there's more. And you'd eat those. And you'd go open the cupboard, and they're still there. It's almost like the cruse of oil that just kept pouring, and the meal that wouldn't be gone. And it was just amazing that this food, my wife and I even said it, for like a couple weeks, this food should be gone by now. We weren't living extravagantly. We were just thankful to have food and a nice place to live and those types of things. And so we've all been there. We had people over at our house one day and years ago, and we had family in. They were actually in for a conference. They didn't know that I had been owed a lot of money, and people had welched on their agreements, and awful thing. The one thing I don't miss about being in business is chasing down the money, amen? I happen to go find it. And some people are very good about paying, but you get those customers that promises are made, contracts are signed, but you got to go find them. And then they're hard to find. And so it was a place where I had earned money. I had worked a lot. I had money coming to me, but they just weren't paying. Well, just give me another week. And just, I can't pay you yet. And so we had family leaving. I think Brother Caleb was one of them when he was younger. And in for a conference, the morning they were leaving, we get up and the power's shut off. That's a little embarrassing. No hot water. Lights won't turn on. That was also an apartment where our stove didn't work. We've all been here. But we've also all been here, where we have a little bit more than we need. You know, the only thing God says to poor people, very generally speaking, is don't make yourself poor. You know what? Sometimes we're poor because of stupid financial decisions. Sometimes we're poor because we've got a little too big for our britches. We've made commitments that we shouldn't have made. We've bought things we shouldn't have bought. We've made poor financial decisions. And we've been there. And you know what God says to those people? This will help you learn not to get in that position again. Amen? And hopefully we learn. But you know, there's people here also, and we've been here before, and you have too, where it was no fault of your own. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't over-leverage yourself. You weren't foolish with the money. It's just where you were. Do you know, to those people in the Bible, I personally, you might be able to remind me some of something, but I personally find in the Scripture no demeaning words or a correction to the people that are poor outside of their circumstances. It wasn't their fault. That's just where they find themselves. God doesn't correct those people. You know who He spends a lot of time correcting? Those of you that have, but you don't have a heart to give. You can see needs around you. It doesn't faze you. It doesn't affect you. The Holy Ghost can move. And it doesn't work. And usually what happens is, watch this, this is very interesting. When we get to the place where we have money, we make overcommitments or foolish decisions that put us back over here. We live in a day and age where you can sign a contract. You can have a car payment for 7 years now. That's a long time. Mortgages for 30 years. We have a society where people are making long-term financial commitments that if you get into one of those situations and overstretch yourself, it's not for months. It's not even for a year or two. It can be years. We got to be very careful about that. It's better to live with less happily than live with a lot stressed out. Proverbs says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a house full of sacrifices with strife. It's a blessing to be able to give. And you see the Apostle Paul here, look at our text here, Acts chapter 20. He says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. He said, listen, I've been paying my own way. I've been paying for the way of the people with me. And he said, I have showed you all things that how that so laboring or laboring like that, ye ought to support the weak. And now, so this is a time in the Apostle Paul's life where he had the opportunity to make some money that didn't interfere with his ministry work, and he was able to give. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, familiar verses, but let's look at it in this context. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So this is a group of people that were once again able to help Paul out financially. And he says right here, he says, you were always careful. You always wanted to help, but you didn't have the opportunity to help because of your situation. That's how we are. God's much more concerned with the want to than the ability. He can provide the ability. It's the Lord that maketh rich, the Bible tells us, and the Lord that maketh poor. But He can provide the ability, but what comes from us is the heart of a giver, that giving heart. And so he says, you've been helping me out now again. And look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. That New Testament word communicate, it's often not talking about talking like we use the word communicate. It's talking about giving. It's a transfer of possession. The Apostle Paul said, look, I'm so thankful you're helping me again because I've been in a mess. And I know you've always wanted to, but you haven't been able to. But he said, I'm not asking or thanking you for your help because I think I need a lot. He said, I've learned. I know what it's like to be over here and be without. And I know what it's like to be over here and have a lot. It's a blessing to be able to give. We won't take time to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, but it talks about with food and raiment, therewith be content. You know what, folks? Let me just say that we don't have to have everything right now. You don't have to have the best car. You don't have to have the best fridge. You don't have to have the best clothes. You don't have to have the best sneakers. You don't have to have the best house. You don't have to. One of the things that has happened with this idea of credit, even in my generation, is that people got married and they have a lot of credit available to them sometimes, and they'll just go out and buy everything. And when we were growing up, it would take time. Maybe somebody in their 40s or 50s would have to take time and they would grow and work and save their money. Then they could buy a nicer house, or they could get newer appliances, or nicer furniture and those types of things. But it would take time, and a mistake that my generation made was just going out and buying everything all at once. And you can be in your 20s and have a new couch and new cars in the driveway and new this and new that, but then you got to find a way to pay for it. It's bondage. It's bondage. And so the heart of the giver, it's a blessing to be able to give, but we need to learn to be content when we don't have to give. We need to make sure we're not putting ourselves in a position that we can't give because of our own decisions. And honestly, some of us find ourselves in that position this morning where maybe you've made some decisions that have constricted you beyond what you're able. Then do your best to get out of that place and get over to a place where you have that little bit extra so you can give. And some of us are there this morning not by any fault of our own. Maybe a job that was lost, or a company that downsized, or a medical thing that came up, or something crazy. And if you're there, then just learn to be content. I don't have to have the best of everything right now. I can subsist as long as I have a roof over my head and food for me and my children and clothes on our backs, and we can live every day. We're going to focus on the things that money can't buy, like happiness and love and joy and peace and family and ministry and all those types of things, serving the Lord, laying up treasures in heaven, and not focusing on all the things the world says we have to have now that we can't have. It's a blessing to be able to give. Let me say, number two, that giving helps the receiver. So there's blessings to giving. It's a blessing to be able to give. Number two, giving helps the receiver. Look at James chapter 2. We'll move a little bit faster in the scriptures now after laying that foundation. James chapter 2. Verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so we can be very spiritual in our words. We can be very spiritual in our thoughts. We can see somebody starving. God bless you. Have a good day. Be warmed and filled. God bless you. Does that really help? You know, I got an extra 20 bucks in my pocket, but really that's my Dunkin' Donuts money for this week. So let me just pray for you. Father, help this person, somebody. Lay it on someone's heart to come by and help this person with some food. Amen. Then leave and go through the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts. I got my number two coffee cake muffin, medium coffee, hot black. Lord, help that person. Send somebody by. We can be really hypocritical about this kind of stuff, can't we? Giving blesses the receiver. There are people that really need a hand up. They need a leg up. We have all kinds of people call the church asking, and oftentimes they're call it telemarketing. They're just telemarketing. They're calling every church looking for a handout. They're calling every governmental group looking for something. They have no desire to change. They'll spend $600 a month on cigarettes, but ask us to buy formula and diapers for their children. Food for their babies. No desire to change. But when people call, we are looking for those ones that are sincerely, they're struggling. Like you have been, like I have been. I don't want to stay here. I'm not looking for this to be a lifestyle. No, we really could use a little bit of help right now. And we have a process that we go through trying to identify what their needs are, and we have a little interview, and we ask them how they got into this situation, what happened so that they're into this situation, and are they willing? You know, And I'll often say, I'll have to check that account because I don't know it right off my head. I'll have to check the account and see what we've got and what we can do with your situation. But I'll say something like this, and it says right on the interview form that we use, are you willing to change your behavior if it will help your circumstances? I think it says right on the form, are you willing, forget the exact wording, but basically, are you willing to submit to biblical counseling? And I'll tell them, look, we could write you a check, and maybe it'll help you for a day or a week or a month, but if something doesn't change, you're going to be writing this mess again next month. And thankfully, we've seen people who have been down and out, and they get a hand up, and it's just that kickstart. And they get that kickstart, and they're back on track. And most people, when they have that, will have a conversation. You know, you can always tell they're like, you know what, Pastor Chapman, I feel really bad about even being in your office. You have no idea how hard this is for me. I just don't know what to do. And you can tell they're not used to the money. Then you have other people. Just looking to see if you can help me out. I need this and this and this and this. We always ask, well, what we'd have you do, ask you to do is come to a church service, sit down, talk with us, let us get to know you. Sit through a church service, you get to know us, we'll interview you and get to know you, and then we'll see if we can help you. Oh no, I'm just looking for money. I'm sorry, we can't help you. We're looking for those ones where, oh, it's a blessing. Where that little extra money can even bring some tears to your eyes, where it's... We've had church members here through the years that through preaching on different things, I've been so pleased that somebody will notice that somebody needs another pair of shoes and they know that they're a little down and out, so they'll slip them some money to go get a new pair of shoes. Or somebody walking through the parking lot notices that somebody's driving on tires that are dangerous. I mean, just dangerous. And somebody will slip them some money so they can go get some tires. Or they find out somebody needs some brakes or the car breaks down, it needs a little something. And maybe something comes up that would be a blessing to their family and they can just put a little bit of money towards that. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit will just lay something on your heart where you don't know why, you don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know what the situation is, but you give that money and God knows what's going on behind the scenes. You become that conduit for God's blessing. The blessings of giving, it's a blessing to be able to give. Number two, it helps the receiver. Number three, giving promotes the happiness of the giver now. You know, what? One of the great blessings of giving is that honestly, giving with the right motive and through the leadership of the Holy Ghost brings you, the giver, much more joy than it gives the person who's receiving. It promotes peace of heart and happiness and joy and that knowledge that you did something good and meaningful. Let me show you a few verses here. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. We'll just look very quickly. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. So the givers tend to receive from others or from the Lord, and those that are stingy lead towards poverty because they don't have the blessing of the Lord. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Liberal in the Bible here is not talking about politics, it's talking about their generosity. And fatness was a sign of blessing. And so the liberal soul shall be blessed. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Luke chapter 6 says, give, and it shall be given to you. And folks, sometimes if you give money, God gives money back. But oftentimes it's not the tangible things. It's you might give money and it's intangible blessings. And you might give time and it's intangible blessings that God showers upon you because God loves the giving heart. He loves it. Let's look here, staying in the book of Proverbs. We see Proverbs chapter 13, Verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath what? Nothing. Boy, how many rich people are out there that they have everything the world could offer and they're absolutely miserable? You have rich people committing suicide, rich people getting in and out of drug and alcohol abuse facilities all the time because their riches don't fulfill their inner needs. They're rich, but they're poor. They have everything, but they have nothing. Read on. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Notice this, maketh himself poor. This is someone who takes of what is his and gives it, and now he has less, but he has more. Boy, this concept is so powerful, and the Lord wants us to grasp it. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. So if you look down at your neighbors, then that's just a sin. By the way, looking down on people is a sin. Where ground's made level at the cross, doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your background is, you're a sinner just like they are, but for the blood of Jesus Christ, you would have burned in the same hell. Well, looking down on people's an awful sin. But look else what it says. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Mercy on the poor is talking about giving. Now, if we understand Proverbs, many of these Proverbs are antithetical. That means they give the opposite. This is one thing, and this is the opposite. So by context, we understand that it's talking about despising your neighbor, is that if you see your neighbor has need, it's talking in the context of giving. If you see a need, but you don't deem their need worthy of your money or your effort, God's leading you to do something, but you despise them, that's a sin. But God says, when you have mercy on the poor, how? Not by saying, God bless you, I'll pray for you. But you have mercy by addressing their need or addressing their problem. What's the scripture say? Happy is he. You know giving makes you happy. You want to get over depression? Get your mind off yourself and start giving. Give some of your time. Go down to the nursing home or the senior center, give some time. Come talk to me and say, Pastor, I'm just a mess, but I have some time. What can I do? We'll get you busy doing things that will refill your happiness, not by sitting down trying to be happy, but by going out and doing things and where God says, I will restore happiness because I love what you're doing. And there's blessings to the giver. Promotes the happiness of the giver now. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Now look at verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. That means that some people are so lazy, they would rather die in their laziness than work. Think about that. They would rather die in their laziness than work. And I'm not just talking about physical work. Sometimes we get lazy mentally. Sometimes we get lazy where we might come up against a problem, but we're too lazy to get creative. We're too lazy to figure out how to overcome. We just lay down and die. We got to be diligent, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. Moving forward, I strive, I press toward the mark. If I run into an obstacle, then let's get creative. Let's pray more. Let's fast. Let's seek counsel. Let's do something. It's not just we run into a wall. No, no, it's never going to work. It's never gonna... No. Diligence, inside and out. Verse 26, he coveteth greedily. Oh, look at verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Verse 26, he coveteth greedily all the day long. So watch this. laziness leads to covetousness. He wants what he doesn't have the character to get. And so he sits down, refusing to work, but wanting all day. It used to be amazing to me. We would go into some of the hardest projects in Chicago. The police wouldn't even go into. People living in high rises that you walk in the staircases, it smells like urine and drugs. And you go up and knock on the door, and they open the door, and they live in this swallow, but they have a huge high-definition TV. Sound system. You walk through the parking lot to get there, and there's Cadillacs and $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 rim and tire sets on cars. And that makes sense. No, but they want. That's way too easy for humanity to get comfortable with other people taking care of their needs, feeding them, housing them, while they take their extra time and money that they find and go out and do what they want. That's a sin. Now, there are people that legitimately need help. I'm not against helping them at all. But let me just say, our government can't tell the difference. Government is not equipped to tell the difference. That used to be held by the families and then the churches and then the communities. People that know people, know situations. The government's totally unequipped for that. That's a whole other message. But look at this, verse 26. He, the slothful, coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So the slothful don't work, but they covet, and the righteous work and they give. And you see that principle throughout humanity. And so we see that the blessings of giving, it's a blessing to be able to give. Giving helps the receiver. Giving promotes the happiness of the giver now. Let me say next, giving pleases God. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll just run through some of these as we close up. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now this bountiful eye is not one that's looking to get. It's someone who's looking to see how he can give. Having that radar for needs. That, Lord, who can I help this day? That, Lord, if you give me a little extra money this month, then I'll find somebody that needs it. I guarantee you this. If you set aside some money for almsgiving, A-L-M-S, Matthew chapter 6, you'll find, say, Lord, if you give me and you work out my schedule, you work out my budget, or you just make things go better, or even better yet, Lord, if you give me a little extra money, I promise you, have a goal. Say, Lord, I would love to set aside $40 a month over and above my tithe, over and above my missions, over and above my budget for my personal needs, so I can look for people and you can lead me to people each month that I can be a blessing to. If God doesn't show you anybody, then put it over to the side and maybe bank it for a little while if you need to. But I guarantee you, the Lord is looking for people who He can trust, who He can be a conduit. Now, the Lord's not telling you to quit your job and go empty your IRA and give it all away and then go on welfare. That kind of defeats the purpose, amen? God's not opposed to people having money. Matter of fact, watch this. Poor people can't give. You got to have something to give something. It doesn't bother me one whit that people have money. Watch this. There's not one bone in my body that's mad at Bill Gates for being the richest man in the world. I couldn't care less. Now, I wish that we were friends. I wouldn't mind if I got a monthly stipend. Doesn't bother me a bit. All this mess the last couple years about Wall Street and the 99% and the 1%, I haven't given one second's thought my entire life to who's doing what on Wall Street. You say, well, don't you watch the stock market? I don't have any money to put in the stock market.
Now, I think people ought to be wise and not be foolish and break laws and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is there's no animus, there's no personal envy. It doesn't affect my heart or my soul or my mind one iota. People get so focused on this. Listen to me, I've never worked for a poor man. I've always worked for somebody that had more than I do. And rather than say, why does my boss get paid so much? I say, thank God for a job. When I used to be in business and I'd hire a worker, and after they'd been with me for a while, they might start collecting checks. They said, well, I didn't know you were getting this much for this job, and I'm only getting this much. And I'm, well, why are you getting paid so much? And that was the start of the end. Because they were never happy again. I said, you want to switch jobs? You go home and eat with your family. I'm still working. I get up before you. I go to bed after you. I work longer than you. I'm on the phone. I'm doing paperwork. I'm dealing with the IRS. I'm dealing with insurance and bonding, licensing and insuring. You have no concept about, but all you see is the number. Folks, you can't allow Satan to get you caught up in that mess. If you want to make more money, make yourself more valuable where someone will pay you more money. It'd change your life if you went to your boss this week and said, number one, I want to thank you for this job. And number two, I've been reminded this week that my job is to make you money. I'm going to do the best I can while I'm in your employ to make you a good amount of money. If he doesn't fall over and have a heart attack, I guarantee he'd be shocked, because most employees would rather sit around talking about how they make so little with doing so little than making themselves more valuable. Now, if you have a boss that, sometimes you have a boss that just grinds you. And I know people in our church, they work hard and the boss just squeezes them and grinds them and tries to get every little thing out of them and work more and pay less than you. Pray about that thing. God's big enough to put you where He wants you, when He wants you, how He wants you. Give you a good amount of job. And so I'm talking about this whole concept of money because these things we're talking about, our thoughts and feelings about the rich and about people that have more money than I do, it really affects our whole outlook on giving in general. I'll give one day. If I was rich, I would give. I guarantee you, if you don't give a penny out of a dollar, then you wouldn't give 1,000 out of 10,000. And you wouldn't give 100,000 out of 1,000,000. That's why God made a percentage, because the percentage is irrelevant. It simply reveals the heart. If tithing was 5%, complainers would complain. If tithing was 3%, those that didn't want to give their 3% would complain. If tithing was 12%, those that trusted God would give 12% without complaining. It is a matter of the heart. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving pleases God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, familiar verse. And God is able to make all grace. Now let's look at verse 6. But I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You give more, you get more. You give less, you get less. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now this isn't talking about the tithe. The tithe is set by God. This is talking about offering, in more particular, grace giving. Now watch this. This will blow your mind. There's so many complaining about tithing in the New Testament. The New Testament confirms the tithe and says, yes, you should tithe, and then leaves it because God's not interested in having us do the bare minimum. What God focuses on is grace giving. We use the tithe as the bare minimum, the least acceptable standard, that 10% of the gross. And then the New Testament says, move on from there. You've got a God that's big enough, a God that's strong enough, a God that can take care of you. Stop complaining about the little percentage points and ask God, purpose in your heart, what He wants you to give. Verse 7, every man according as he hath purpose within his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. So don't give, oh, fine, I'll give, fine, I'll tithe, fine, I'll take care of that person's need, fine, I'll give to missions. And don't give of necessity, well, I have to. God commanded me, I guess I have to. You know what God loves? For God loveth cheerful giver. Cheerful. I have never associated that term to writing a check. I'm so thankful I get to pay this bill. Boy, thank you, God. Woo! Oh, I love it. Bring him on. But you know those checks that you can enjoy? Oh, God. Lord, I get to return your tithe. It's not mine anyway. You tested me this month. I'm giving it back. Well, what do you want me to give? Do you want me to give a little extra? Any special need, any missionary need, or any need in the church, or anything special coming up that I'm open, Lord. You know it all belongs to you anyway. And praise God, I get to write my tithe. Hey, look how big this tithe is. I remember when it was a fraction of that. Remember when I first started tithing, how small it was? Boy, God, you brought us a long way. This is awesome. And you know what? I believe the heart of God rejoices. Listen to this. Because there are so few of His people that understand the true nature of giving, that when someone learns to give from a willing and yielded heart, that God says, I love that. Oh, I love that. Hebrews 13, we won't take time to look at it, says that communicating, again, giving, pleases God. God says, boy, that makes me happy. You ever just look at your kids and say, boy, I'm so proud of them. Did you see what they did? You didn't have to prod them. You didn't have to threaten them. You didn't have to stand over their shoulder. But I mean, they did it because it was right to do, and they knew it was right to do. And they did it with a happy heart. And you sit back and say, that's awesome. I love that. And the God of heaven sits back when He sees someone with a giving heart from pure motive and the heart of Christ. And He says, I love that. And that makes me so happy. And so few people ever get to put that smile on God's face. I'll just mention these. Giving is an opportunity to be like God. He's the great giver. Number 6, giving earns eternal rewards. Matthew 25, 34 through 36. When you give here on earth, God lays up treasures in heaven. And even when you give person to person. I'll close by saying this. I'll never forget. Again, I told you my wife's taught me so much about giving. She told me a story in college, and I know the people she talked about, that she saw a lady in college who was older. She had 5 kids, and my wife was burdened for her. So my wife had very, very little in college. You know, it's tough for these ladies to get by, and parents often trying to help pay the bill, and them working on the side just for toiletries and things like that. But the Lord worked on my wife's heart, and she purposed in her heart that she was going to give this lady $5 every week. And that was huge money to my wife. And so every week she'd put $5 in an unmarked envelope and put that in her mailbox and just trust in the Lord that it would make a difference. And she said, I did that for a whole year. And then the lady stopped going to college, and I think she graduated or something. But after we got married, we'd been married for about 6 months, and I started working for that lady's husband.
Come to find out, her husband was a millionaire. And my wife said, at first, her reaction was, I sacrificed every week for a year, going without necessities, putting $5 in this lady's thing, which she spends more than that on her morning coffee. She said, you know, but that didn't last very long because the Lord filled my heart with joy. Because it didn't matter who I was giving to. The real blessing was in the giving. Can you imagine that? I'm sure I just looked at her and shook my head. That's not what I'd be saying. I'd probably go slash her tires or something. And no, I wouldn't do that. What I'm challenging you is there is a level of giving, a giving heart that most of us have never attained. I'm not encouraging you to give. I'm encouraging you to be a giver. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd take the time that we've set aside and help us. Help us to give as Christ gives in love. Give as the Father gives. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the piano plays, the altar's open.